coming up very soon is a great tournament that I'm going to be heading to down in Pampa, Texas, for the Melissa Lambert second annual scholarship tournament. It's going to be a blast. I'm very much looking forward to it. Going to show up on Friday. I think it's the 14th or 15th. 15th,
right? Something like that, yeah.
And we will have a blind draw, and then we have switch holio on Friday, doubles on Saturday, competitive or open divisions. So
fun to be had by all.
Exactly. It's a cornhole tournament for a great cause. I love to play cornhole for a good cause, and yeah. I tend to drink a little bit more at those. So I'm very much looking forward to it. So if you want to head out, join me. Let's go hit this thing up. Say hi if you're out there. And of course, that's also sponsored by Dragon Bags.
Sure is.
They just happen to be our bag sponsor.
Coincidence.
Right? The reason why. We like to throw them. And I've had several people reach out recently because they like to throw my bags. Yeah. Asking me where to get them. Well, I'll tell you right now. You go over to dragonbags.com. And if you drop code BIGASP12 at checkout, you're going to save money on some great, great bags. So don't sleep on any of them. They have all the bangers. So head on over to dragonbags.com and drop code BIGASP12 today.
Cornhole it. Big ass cornhole.
We hope you throw it straight. And nothing but four bangers from here on out.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Big Ass Cornhole Podcast. Sean and Dane are with you again. What's going on, man?
Not too much. Another episode. Back-to-back weeks.
Back-to-back weeks.
We're back on the train, Sean.
Busy episode. Lots of stuff to get to.
Every week.
Every week, man. Just like every week, I feel like I'm trying to cram more and more stuff into it, so no time to waste. Dane, do what you do best every single week. Let the folks know what we're drinking tonight in our favorite segment called What You Drinking.
Ho-ho! What You Drinking?
I went and snagged myself a little Midwest IPA from Great Lakes Brewing. 7% alcohol. I quite enjoy it. Sean, you weren't as big of a fan.
I got to be honest, man. I was not a fan.
What were your dislikes about it?
I don't know. To me, it was not very drinkable. I really just did not enjoy the taste at all.
But it describes itself as an official IPA of Midwest nice.
Okay. Yeah, maybe that's why.
That's the niceties of it.
Yeah, I'm drinking Voodoo Ranger Experimental IPA, which I quite enjoy. This is right, very much up my alley. I like this a lot.
Well, beggars can't be choosers, I guess. I supply the beer, so you're welcome.
Yeah.
And our hangover tomorrow is going to be cured by Cornhole Coffee. Always. So why don't you head over to Cornhole Coffee, get that morning pick-me-up you need after a long, long tournament or just a rough night. Drop code BIGASP at checkout and save yourself some money over at cornholecoffee.com. Get your beans today. Drink, focus, throw.
All right, folks, we have more audio gold today. All right, we're going to be recapping the results of the Carolina Conference events. Scheduled today are more bags to review. Up today are Elite Pro Snipers by Lucky Bags. We have dramatic readings, a slew of random topics to cover, and then we're going to be joined by ACL Pro Gina Ramirez. But before we get into all that, we're going to bring you what's going on in our cornhole lives in a second we call In and Around the Hole.
Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
Stop throwing ugly bags.
Stop it. Look
at me. Stop it. If you're at home and you're throwing ugly bags, you got to stop. All right. And how do you do that? Well, if you go to blackjackcornhole.com, they only have sexy designs. All right. Great bags, free shipping, amazing customer service. We've been telling you for years. It's a no-brainer. Go to blackjackcornhole.com and if you use code BIGASP, you'll save yourself 10%, man.
Bingo, bango, bongo.
How about that? And
sexify.
We'll talk about the best of the bags here a little bit, but one company that's rolling right along and doing very well is Black Sheep Baggers. And it's really no question about it. All right. They're huge support community, really well represented in the Carolina Conference I saw this past weekend. Mm-hmm. They had several bags make a good run. If you're in the market for a new set of bags, you're looking for something hybrid, go to Costello X. Yeah, I mean, you're looking for, you want like something a little bit old, go OG, man.
Hell right? Yeah.
You can't go wrong with it. All right, go to blacksheepbaggers.com, and if you use code BIGASP, you're going to save yourself 10%.
Pew, pew.
Hell yeah. All right. What's new?
I got to throw.
You did
this weekend.
Yeah, you got to actually get out to the regional.
I did.
Yeah,
I did not. Snuck out there and
a little salty, man.
Like, as
I really,
you should be.
I really wanted to get out.
Then I'm going to be throwing again in just a week's time. So
now, historically, regionals in our area typically go to like 10 p.m., like 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, I forgot that they split them.
Yeah.
But now since they split them, I mean, it's over by 5:30.
Yeah.
Which is nice. I mean, like, I get it. But, and I get for Cleveland Cornhole, it probably just made more sense to do it that way, like, just money-wise.
Well, and they can't fit quite enough boards in there to have.
No, it's at St. Michael's, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah. it's just a little too small, but still very, very well ran. Like, ran like clockwork. I mean, we had.
No, selfishly, open I just
and,
wanted to be
We
able
had
to
just
there.
The open blind draw to start, yep. And then it was open and advanced doubles, and then open and advanced singles. Okay. I think they were done and cleaned up by,
and
like,
you played blind draw and doubles, correct?
I did, yes.
So, blind draw, who'd you get paired with?
I got paired with the Chucky Love.
Oh, shit. Was he on time?
He was on time.
He was on time. Yeah, boy.
Then in between game one and two, we let him go out and have a smoke break, and then came back and started ripping. But
no pun intended.
No pun intended at all. It was fun throwing with him. We threw the fractures.
Solid bag. I mean, it's right up your alley. Recently, what you've been throwing.
Yeah. So I was feeling pretty. They were just so broken in.
Yeah.
And it's something that you and I talk about all the time.
It's
like, we're not used to throwing those bags.
I forget that Reynolds even has.
For sure. Yeah.
Because, like, they don't really market it at all.
No, but it's.
It was very much outside. They were so late to that game, like to that fabric combo.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of gets forgotten about.
It really does, but it's a great bag. Threw it decent. I mean, again, like, when you don't face competition, it's hard to gauge, because I'm like, is this guy just like missing shots, or am I like just actually in this game? Like every game I was scoring points. I never really gave up a huge round. I think the biggest round I gave up was a five, and that was just on a four bagger.
Okay.
And I just had a shit seven or something. But yeah, I threw pretty well. And I was always like, I don't know, the whole blind draw kind of felt like a player with a B player.
Okay.
Almost like it kind of split up that way. So, like, I was typically always facing the B player, and
which is kind of nice.
You know yeah, I mean? Yeah. No,
throwing,
I mean,
against somebody that you feel like you can compete with.
Yeah, I felt like I held my own. Yeah, it was just tough competition out there. We went like 3-2 or something, and had a great time throwing with you, Chucky. So
in doubles, you ended up throwing with a young gun, right?
I did. Yeah. So John Chris, young gun out here. Kid can sling.
NOLA bag sponsored player.
Yes.
Right?
So I had assumed that, like, hey, we're going to be throwing mud bugs.
Yeah.
I was cool with it. Like, it's like, to me, bringing my bags to a tournament now is almost just like comical.
I threw those one blind draw with Sean Roth. I really do like them.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it's not a bad bag. No.
It's slower than
what I normally
like. I told
him I warmed up with them. Yeah. I'm like, dude, I like these. But then he ended up wanting to go with some Dragon bags. And just because he thought I'd be more comfortable, he knew that I didn't quite get out to throw as often. So,
yeah, I get it.
Which, you know, I do appreciate. So we ended up throwing like the igniters, and they were playing like glue, man. Like they were grabbing pretty quick.
I mean, that surefire material.
Yeah,
we know how slow it gets. Like,
and it was just a humid day in Cleveland.
Okay.
Like,
is it just the board game, like board business in general? Are they just coming out slower now?
Well, I think a lot of it too is like these boards aren't just brand new everywhere now. They've had time to wear in. It's not like they're getting them recoded and stuff. So bad.
Maybe they are just getting so much more get play than usual. They're gonna. Yeah, all right. Yeah,
I think it's just normal wear and tear, and it just.
But like, so I went and played. I threw outside today.
Yeah.
Right. Not to like cut you off and stuff. How did you guys finish? How did you guys do?
Oh, we went 0-2. But it's still fun throwing with them.
Okay.
Like, enjoyed it. Like, thanks for stepping up. I didn't have a partner. Neither did he. So it's just like, hey, let's just get some more games in. So,
sweet.
Yeah, it was still fun.
But I did finally get to throw out, like, it was like 70 degrees today in Ohio. So I did step out, throw out my driveway for a few minutes.
Yeah.
We got a little special care package in, and from our friends, Big Daddy.
You just couldn't help yourself.
I couldn't. It was like literally sitting on my porch. So I took my keys, cut it open, started throwing. I had already thrown the new Black Sheep baggers, which we're going to review next week.
Mm-hmm.
Those are very nice. Thank you for those. Yep. The new sentence. I'm not even a herringbone guy.
They look
guy,
sexy too.
They work.
They work.
They worked. Yeah, through these guys again, the Elite Pro Snipers that we're going to review today, just to kind of, you know, to get that final feel for it. And then had the Power Dragons out. My Brown set's finally getting broken in nicely. I get super frustrated though, because you've played on my boards.
Mm-hmm.
They're ludicrous speed.
They are.
They're the fastest fucking boards in the planet.
The history of boards. Yeah.
So it gets a little especially when it's windy out.
Mm-hmm.
And one direction, again, I'm going slightly uphill against the wind. And then the other direction, I'm slightly downhill. Just, I mean, we're talking not much of a grade, but it makes all the difference when you're going downhill slightly with wind.
Yeah.
So I get a little frustrated because I don't think my average is up where it was. And I just didn't feel consistent throwing a bag. And mm-hmm. And I have to tell myself sometimes when I'm doing bag reviews, that's what happens. Because if I'm throwing four different sets down, listen, I know some people can just throw whatever. I'm not like that. It takes me a minute to kind of get that feel and the release out of my hand.
My thing is I'll always have my first round with them is usually my best round. And then it's like, it just goes slowly downhill from there because I start thinking about the nuances and shit of it. Like
when I'm doing like a bag review, like when I'm trying to do research, like the first few rounds, I'm just pour bags in, like as many bags in the hole you can go. How do they slide? Like how's an open board game go? And then I try to do something like, all right, let's play like a slower, dirty round, like this bag and this bag. What do I feel like I can cut well with? Like, does this bag have some action to it? Like, can I get it to do? Because if I know that if I can get it to hop a little bit,
mm-hmm.
other people are going to be able to do crazy shit with it. So I just want to kind of see how does the bag react? How does it push? Does it have a little weight behind it? Is it too slinky? Sometimes it's hard to say on my boards because they're so fucking fast, man. Like getting the speeds of this.
Yeah.
Like it's really tough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel very comfortable like throwing carpet now on these and those and they were going like herringbone today was like my best material on there.
But you also against the wind. Your boards, they don't slow down in humidity either.
No, it's crazy, man.
They just stay the same speed at all times. It's kind of crazy.
It is ridiculous. Referee hotline video went pretty well.
It did.
It's up to like 30,000 views now. So thank you everybody for appreciating satire. I do want to say that like just because when we come out with videos and stuff like that, it doesn't mean necessarily like that's 100% like what our stance is.
Yeah.
It's just we're just having fun.
It's just a joke. Like,
it was literally just a joke. We were sitting here. I had the idea. We kind of brainstormed about it. We both threw our ideas in it. I'm like, let's just put it together and see how it turns out. And it turned out exactly how we wanted it to.
Yeah.
Like we wanted it to be like kind of low budget feel. We wanted it to be very like, and I'm happy everyone, most people liked the comment at the end. What's your PPR?
Yeah.
Like that. Like I was very subtle. You know what I mean, and you had to watch the whole thing to kind of get it, but I'm glad it went over well for the most part. But again, it's one of those things you're never going to make everyone happy. Sure. And if I had another plus 50-year-old on there, like basically like lecturing us on like why we shouldn't be making those videos, like just, get a life.
I mean, we try to live by the credo post and ghost. I don't even know why you care.
I just that post morning I was on. I posted it early.
It's because you really wanted that to be like
it was good because I great really video. Believed in it. I was so excited about that idea, like in the way it came out. So I was, but I was driving the other day and it was like a pet peeve of mine that happened, like that I came across.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know if I'm like crazy about this. So like if it's just me.
Okay.
All right. So one of my pet peeves is when I'm driving and I see someone else as a passenger in a car and they have their shoes off and their feet up on the dashboard.
Oh, dude.
I want to throw up every fucking time. And I think it is like the trashiest thing in the world.
Or the feet out the window.
Yeah. Yes. Anywhere up there, but not like
one. I have never been bendy enough. To attempt that move.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's a deep-seated hatred for those people jealousy. That are flexible enough that can get it up there. But like, am I alone on this, or are you
Sean, like that too? I have the opposite of what you call a foot fetish. Like, feet.
Whatever that is, a phobia.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's not really like a foot. They just, feet gross me out. Like, I don't want anything to do with them. So, yeah, when I see them up on a dash, I'm there with you, man. I'm like, just put them down. Like nobody wants to see that.
And honestly, I think sometimes for me, it's almost worse. Like when they have socks up there.
Yeah.
Like especially if their socks are like dirty. It's like Jesus Christ. Like what are we dealing with here? Like where am I right now? Like I don't know. So I'm
you're
sure
in America, Sean.
I'm going to get made fun of.
Land of the free.
And I'm sorry if I offended anyone that likes to put their feet up.
I mean, we actually agree on something for a change, though. That's weird. That is very weird. It happens to be a weird thing. So
very weird.
Yeah. Welcome to the minority.
Yes, correct. All right, so let's do a best of the bags update kind of thing.
Let's.
So we are into the quarterfinals of slow and fast. Quarterfinals of the hybrid bracket is currently going on right now. So far, there haven't been too many upsets. There have been certain companies, though, that I feel like they're one of those like you got to watch out for. Kind of the same feeling that we had last year with the bag brokers and how hot the gambler got. It was just the perfect storm of they have a really good following and a lot of people happen to like the bag and they were going against another company that like maybe they weren't a big fan of. You know what I mean? Like it just all kind of worked together. One of those companies I think you really got to watch out for right now is Sub-Zero Bag Company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Eddie knows his stuff. He's been in the community for a while. He's put out tons and tons of content, right? Obviously, he had the podcast with Corbin. He had Eddie's bag reviews for a long time. He does really good stuff, and his bags are really nice.
Yeah.
We've gotten to throw the Tempest and the Wintertide.
There's a reason
very, very good
why
bags.
They're on the list. I mean, they're good bags.
They're both very good bags. So I really think that the Tempest is going to make a deep run in just looking at how it's all lining up. I think that they're going to find themselves in the semifinals against Ultra, the Viper. That it strikes me as one of those situations. Same thing as last year where everyone, I think like all Ultra wants the Viper R to win.
Yeah.
They're like, listen, we're going to go here. So maybe they don't get 100% of their following behind it. And everyone, the anti Ultra, if there is any of that still left, all goes
to him.
Not just because they like the bag, but they like the person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Eddie has a pretty wide reach now, you know, he has a pretty good following. So that it's going to be interesting. Now, the Wintertide, unfortunately, right now is going up against the Power Dragon. I obviously love both bags. The bag that we're obviously throwing right now is Power Dragon. If you're gun to my head, like, who do I want to win? Well, obviously, I want Dragon Bags to win. But, yes. Like, it's super close. I think when we started recording this, Dragon Bags was down by 80. Now, I've been putting in this year, I don't know if you noticed, I've been putting in how many, the numbers that you're getting in for each round. Because I wanted to see, like, what's the trend? Like, what is a company typically getting per round?
Yeah.
So, right now, the Wintertide is, like, averaging above what they got last time. But it's to be expected as it goes on. But some of these bag companies, they come out hot. And then the next round, they kind of just drop off.
Well, I mean, so one of my theories is all of the big bag companies, they get their following to, like, back it. But then as these rounds progress, just like you said with, like, Sub-Zero, there's going to be the BG haters and like all the guys that are just like anti big bag company.
Yeah.
That are going to vote for the little guy.
Yeah. Correct.
So like, that's why we start seeing these upsets build up and build up. Correct. So yeah, I mean, I think, when it comes down to it though, if Ultra like does like bag giveaway or something, like,
so I think you have Sub-Zero as like a small bag company that could make some noise. Yeah. Same thing as the gambler last year made an epic run, just lost in the finals. Right. That's where you have Sub-Zero, but like middle tier, like not quite the big boys, but like they're lurking. They've been around for a while. The one is Nola. All right. Yes. I feel like this is the year that Nola's like, listen, we have bags. They've been out there. People are finally loving like what we have. We've always respected the hell out of Billy Webb because he takes chances on the materials he uses for his bags and the fill.
Yes.
Like the Swamp Water is still, if you haven't thrown it yet, it's such a cool bag because you're never going to throw anything else that's like it. Mm-hmm. It has a completely different fill than everything that's out there. It's almost like sand. You know what I mean? But the Mud Bug is awesome. It's a great freaking bag.
Yeah, I love it.
So I think it's going to do very well, but can they hang with the big boys? Same thing with Brotherhood. Brotherhood right now is living up to the hype.
Yeah.
Like the Guardian got a number one seed because it was a very popular bag. The Wingman, however, tomorrow has a very tough matchup. They're going against the Wizard. Can they hang with the big boy? I don't think that they're going to be able to hang quite that much. Mm-hmm. If they hang all their eggs in one basket and go in the Guardian, I think that they're going to make a very good run. I just think that they're like, they'll make like the final four, maybe.
Yeah.
Something like that. I just feel like they're going to come just a little bit short. Is this the year that we're finally going to see BG take it? Because every year we're like, man, like since they've become popular, like the last, like at least the two brackets before this, I felt pretty good about BG going in.
Yeah. And then they've never quite had it come to fruition.
They have the second most followers, at least on Facebook, of any bag company. Ultra has, I think, 46 and BG's 45, like right around there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it should be interesting. I think that a lot of people this year, like the slow bracket, almost seems like they're determined, like, no, we're getting the fucking Wizards going to win. Like, we're going to make this happen. Anything we have to do.
I would like to see it.
It's interesting.
Because just like Ultra, if they want to win,
we've never had a repeat. We've never had a repeat winner.
Yeah.
Right.
No.
Yeah. Okay. I was just making sure. Yeah. Who have been the past winners? We had All Cornhole, the Game Changer.
Game Changer.
All right, we'll get to that in just a second.
Who's year one?
So I think it was All Cornhole Game Changer was year
was
one.
Was that year one? Yes, okay. Year I one. Didn't know if that Game was Changer one or two.
Year two, was that when 724 won?
I think, yeah.
And then last year was Pro Sniper. And then, because this is the fourth year we're doing it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, fifth year. Yeah, that makes sense.
Because we didn't do it the first year we... Correct. Or we did, and it was super tiny. And
no, that's what... The Game Changer won the first one, but I think that was like... The after COVID, all that stuff. We did it like after that stuff. So we did that. Yeah. So yeah, we've never had a repeat winner.
All right.
Should be interesting. But speaking of All Cornhole, they're out of the contest now.
Yeah.
Game Changer got annihilated, got like 120 votes. Where are we at with All Cornhole right now?
Well, Sean, I'll tell you where we're at with All Cornhole.
Please.
Yeah. So they have a really, really talented pro.
Yeah.
Under their tutelage.
Yeah. So, that's a good
segue.
Very nice segue. All right. So let's recap the Carolina conference event. As so eloquently put by you, an All Cornhole sponsored player had quite the weekend. Jamie Graham is back on top, folks. I feel kind of dumb for not, I don't think we ever like question him. It's just, like, I don't think he's been playing that much recently in open events.
We get chastised for calling out inconsistencies by him. Because we know that he can be the greatest player in any room he walks into, and we don't see it as often.
World champ.
But he's still, yeah, exactly. He's still a world champ.
He was throwing slick side down Game Changers on tacky boards. I think everyone needs to be nervous if the boards are tacky at Nationals, because you put a Game Changer in that dude's hand, and he just doesn't seem to miss. So he takes down singles at the Carolina Conference, throwing an 11.14, and he beats out Jacob Gore, throwing a 10.9. All right, he was down 13-0 early in that game, came storming back. Graham was so hot this past weekend. All right, he had the three games before that, and in one span, he had made 72 bags in a row, including one game with 54 bags in a row. And then in the finals, he went on another 45 bag in a row run. I mean, he was feeling it.
God damn. Yeah.
Not taking anything away. We already know Hollywood, Jacob Gore.
Yeah, money.
Is as advertised. It was just kind of predestined. And he just had one of those rounds, and Graham just was not missing airmails. I mean, it was automatic with
it. It's so hard to beat somebody that just can let it rip at any moment, has that confidence. Like, yeah. it's such a mental, like,
yeah.
Ramming. I don't know. Like, we always talk about how detrimental a big airmail can be.
And now,
like,
Graham is another one of those guys. He's using like that little step over follow through. Again, it's in the rules, but every once in a while when he's shooting airmail or going for a push, that back foot was kind of questionable. It's going to be interesting going into National One how much they're going to police.
How
this.
Nitpicky are they going
to
be on it?
We know that the ACL is hearing it. We know that they tend to take into consideration a little bit of the public pulse. Are they going to make an effort at National One and really crack down on this, you think? Just to put it out there, like, hey, listen, we are watching this, adapt, so we don't have to keep hearing about this shit. I think that would be the smartest way.
Yeah, I think they're kind of.
But how it's written right now, you still need officials, right?
Yeah.
They just started the training. Like, I think it like just launched recently, right? So you have this training where no one's going to be ready for that. So until they request an official, like, nothing's going to happen. So it's going to have to come from the ACL pros themselves to police it if they feel like it needs to be policed. If not, who are we to say anything again? You know I mean, not to get back on this whole tangent, but Jamie Graham, really freaking good. Other guys who had really good weekends, Jordan Kimbrell, who had Jamie Graham pretty much dead to right. I think it was 19-13, was looking really good. Graham just does what he does, does not die, and just climbed out of the hole and takes him over. Last week, ironically, we mentioned a name, Mr. Eric Davis.
Yeah, we were like,
welcome back, man.
Yeah, he had a nice showing. It's good to see. But again, like, tied for third. Doesn't surprise us either that he's there. It's just
sometimes I wonder,
he's on a heater. He's really hard to beat.
He's got that style of game that, like, sometimes I wonder, can he go bag for bag with somebody? Again, he's immensely talented. Could he make 50 bags in a row? I'm sure he could. But would he?
Is he okay with being bored?
Yeah, right? Can he just suck it up and go? Like, we saw Tony Smith last year make that change where you can tell watching him sometimes he looks a little bit bored, but hey, it's going to win. And I can do this just like the best of them. Like, I'm taking a page out of Mark Richards' book, right, and doing it. So it's nice to see Eric Davis do well in this Carolina conference. Is not easy.
No. I mean, listen to the names we're naming off here.
I mean, I would say if I'm ranking them right now, they're probably making an argument for maybe third.
Yeah, I mean, Florida's really tough. Texas is really tough. But yeah, I mean, I would put them
right around there. I mean, like, in consideration, right?
For sure.
You could make an argument that maybe they're number one.
Yeah, I mean, you can. I wouldn't quite put them just with the sheer firepower down in Florida right now.
I don't think they have, like, the volume of pros as some of the other states. But, yeah, I mean, talent-wise, like, even advanced and other open-level players, it's a really stacked region down there. So
for sure.
Let's see.
You also had Modlin and Chad Whiteboy Hunt taken fourth.
Yeah, so Frank Modlin, man, that's been the question kind of going into this, is where does Frank Modlin, and does his style of game, can it still translate to success in singles? I think going at a conference that's this competitive, him taking fourth is a good sign of things to come
for sure
this year.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? And again, he's comfortable. He's gonna get to throw his bag at every national. Jamie seems like he's gonna be able to adapt very well. What I'm interested in, what are they going to do if the boards if they're fast? Will they still stick with game changers? Can Graham throw that stick side down?
Can they throw like the 4.0?
And that's what I'm wondering. Is that one that comes into play for them?
Possibly.
Will we see at any point this year, your prediction, will we see that they can change the different
dots? Like,
will we see them play with 3-4s and a 2?
I would hope not, because to me that would be like it'd almost be like a desperate look.
A little bit.
Yeah. And I don't think they're ever going to reach that point. I think they're going to have a pretty solid season together. So,
and not just them. Are we going to see it at all?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, I think everyone's too chicken shit and too much a purist.
Like, we're not going to see anyone throw like 3 wizards and a wizard L.
Is that legal though?
I don't know, because like, are they different bags, right?
Are they claiming
that they're different bags? And it's not just a light wizard?
Yeah.
Even though they're like the same.
It's wizard light, Sean. All right, it's L-I-T-E. It's different.
It's never going to get old, ever. It's never going to get old.
So confusing.
But yeah, so singles, and we move on to doubles, where Graham and Modlin continued their success.
Surprise,
they end up
surprise.
Taking down in dominant fashion. They beat Eric Davis and Jordan Mitchell. I think it was like 26-0. It was over before you blinked. I mean, they just were pouring points on. Graham and Modlin, just, again, there's just them winning this conference brings them back into relevance.
Yes.
Not that like we forgot about them. They were always among those teams, but like they might have been that team.
Marks. They haven't been together. Correct. So we just wanted to see what happened.
It's weird because like the last time we saw them together, they were really successful, you know, as a pro team. So like, was that automatically like, I think that some guys, it just works, right?
Mm-hmm.
Graham Modlin just sounds right. Right?
It really does. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why. It just seems like the world.
We've been
cornhole
around the game for a little
right.
bit now. I mean, we're ancient in the cornhole world nowadays. So
yeah. Like, and it just sounds like it just fits.
It's
feels
nice to
right.
have that nostalgic little tip, you know?
Yeah, correct.
Like, just like Guy Nation. Like, I love that they're back playing together. Like, yeah. It's just, I don't know. Like,
I mean, the last few seasons, we've seen Modlin kind of handpick who we wanted to play and kind of go with like almost like, so he went with Austin Schlobaum first, right?
Yeah.
Immensely talented guy, but he probably was taking on more of like the leader of that group, right? You know, taking on a rookie. And then you go with Cheyenne Bubenheim. Didn't quite have the level of success that I think that they were hoping for.
Yeah.
But obviously they're solid enough. Mm-hmm. But now you go back with Jamie. Are they a top 5 team, top 10 team? Like where do you feel like they're falling, right? So I wrote down a list of teams.
I see that.
Again, this is no specific order, but then when I'm looking over it, it kind of just happens to fall almost in order.
Yeah.
There's a few teams that might mix, but I'm just going to rattle off some teams. Let's see if you would think that they're better than them, right? Eddie and KB, JBJ Chamberlain, Richard Smith, Birchfield and Hissner, Harbaugh Malone, Guy Nation, Smith and Wiedenfeld, Windsor Creek Killer, Holland Rawls, Halbert Trzynski, Gore Soto. Are they better than any of those teams right off the bat? And again, I'm talking power rankings, preseason, all that stuff.
So
not where we think they're going to end up in standing. I'm saying power ranking right now.
If we're saying that your list is like in an order, I would put them right around that. Hissner, Birchfield, Harbaugh, Malone, Guy Nation area. Right in there. Yeah,
I agree. Yeah, I think that's kind of where they would fall for me. I would have a hard time. I'm not going to put them over Eddie and KB right now, just after how they ended, out of respect.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put him over Smith and Richards, and I'm not putting him over JBJ and Chamberlain. Where it becomes blurred for me is Hisner, Birchfield. They've been really good so far this year.
Yeah.
And it's been an opens. They've had success. I'm going to give them the nod over them.
Yeah.
But then you get Harbaugh Malone. Right now, probably give me Graham and Modlin.
Yeah,
right?
We haven't really seen Harbaugh Malone play together.
That's what I'm saying. Feel like they deserve that fifth spot right now in like a power ranking. Yeah. I really feel comfortable. Windsor has been playing out of his mind. Creek Killer doesn't seem like he's playing hardly anything right now. Could he show up at National 1 and they win the whole thing? Of course. But if we're going power rankings right now, I think you have to put like a Graham Modlin ahead of them as well.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So yeah, I think that they firmly just reminded everyone that, hey, we're here. All cornhole is still somewhat relevant, although they didn't do great in the bag, you know, best of the bags. So, like, maybe this is what they needed to kind of bolster it up.
Yeah. I mean, they could hop back up to the top again if they start having some success.
Absolutely.
On the main courts.
Absolutely. All right. You want
to
do
that was intense. I think it's time to let's bring it back around for a little dramatics.
Hell yeah.
In a world where bean bags have brought men to their knees, social media serves as sanctuary for keyboard warriors. Time for the dramatic readings.
And as always, dramatic readings are brought to you by Big D Bags. Nothing feels better in a big-ass cornhole fan's hands than a set of big old D's. Mm. So why don't you head on over to BigDBags.com. I can't ever help but smile when I say their name. Join me in a smirk, and remember, don't be a big D-bag. Throw him.
I like to think that John's smirking, too.
Yes. Every time.
Every time.
Every time he is.
Oh, yeah.
Addicted to cornhole. Brian Stanton. So when does Cornhole and Company start cleaning up the junky loose ends of the game? Board sides, whose bags to use, who keeps score, over SPRs and cap tournaments, foot fouls, etc. This quote-unquote sports, an organized mess compared to any other. I'll save my comments / fixes for below, but in my opinion, the stronger player of the team should nearly always control. Thoughts? So Sean, the age-old adage of does the A player get to choose everything in a blind draw,
there
or
is
should
a
the
lot
B player
going on in that post? Because he starts you off one way where it's almost like he's bitching about stepping over and all the rules that's not being, and then he ends you with like, and the better player should get to decide. Yeah. It's like, whoa, did you mean to make that two separate posts?
Yeah, who dictates who's the better player?
So I guess let's break this down. In the last part, again, it goes back and forth so many times. I mean, you can make an argument either way, whether the stronger or lesser player should be the more comfortable one. We're talking arm inside, outside, bag choice, who they throwing against. You know what I mean? Like all those kind of decisions. I mean, if you're someone with somebody brand new, they have no idea what's going on. Obviously, throw what the better player is more comfortable with.
Yeah, for sure.
If you're at a point where you're playing with somebody new, but like they feel comfortable throwing a certain kind of bag and you know you're going to get the best performance out of them, it's probably as a team, you're probably going to be better off throwing that. Unless like, let's say you're somebody that only throws slick side down, but you're a pro, right?
Yeah.
But you know that if you throw slick side down with your bags, you guys are going to be able to compete. Even if your partner can't, like, it's struggling keeping them on the board, sometimes it might be worth it. But for the most part, I'm on like, what is the team collectively going to feel the most comfortable
exactly
with?
I'm like, pick a middle road if you can. Then
correct.
Have both of you be almost at your best, but maybe not quite.
Rarely do I ever go up to something and say like, oh, these are the bags we're going to throw.
Yeah.
Has it happened before? Yeah. I've been to a blind draw before where I'm like, nah, I'm going to throw this.
Somebody's holding their beer bellies and you're like, oh, geez.
Or like if I'm going to partner up with somebody and they're like, hey, I want to throw like these carpet bags, right? I'm just very honest with them. Like, we can play with them. I'm just going to be a one-dimensional kind of guy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a flop roll guy. I'm a stroke guy. And I tend to land the bag soft. So like, I struggle a little bit. Once upon a time, Pro Advantage was my best bag.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago. You know what I mean? I just don't throw
you're
that
so much
kind
more
of,
athletic back
no,
then.
I just don't throw that bag anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just not used to. I'm used to throwing something a little bit softer. When I finally discovered that, like, oh, they make faster bags, like, it just fit my game so much better. I've gone down maybe a little bit, but even that hybrid material, I would say, like, it still moves.
Yeah.
Very well.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's just, again, to me, there's, if the A player is demanding to use their bags, then I feel like there's something wrong there.
Yeah.
So you should have a little bit of wiggle room and be able to throw a little bit more.
I just want to say we're watching the Cavs game in the background and our boys are about to pull off a.
No, they're not, because they just called that foul.
They called a foul there?
Yeah, they called that foul.
Like literally no contact, like, yeah. As if they're showing the replay.
Yeah. So that's
how hand soft Boston is
the,
that?
The victory.
Wow.
That's all right. It's the
how
NBA.
Soft is that? Are they reviewing it though? Looks like they're reviewing.
I have no idea.
I don't know what the rules are.
I can't follow the rules in the NBA anymore.
In regard to the other stuff, one is like, when are we going to clean up the game? I think they're trying. Okay. I do think, at least in the ACL, with them trying out this referee thing, regardless of what your thoughts are, we have to at least see if it works, right? We have to see if, like, if they implement this plan, will it start to clean up the game? I think it might.
Yeah. And people also forget how much of, like, cornhole for being a bigger sport now. Like, it's still in its infancy.
Yeah, correct.
So, like, yeah, it's going to be messy. Every sport was messy when it started.
Yeah.
Do you remember the ABA? No. Because it didn't exist anymore. But
I think that there it's okay to want to enforce the rules. I'm not saying that we shouldn't want that for the general, like, good of the game going forward. I think that there's more pressing issues for us to worry about in order to grow the game in general. We can always come back and start to fine tune. We can always come back and change the rule, be like, you can't cross line anymore.
Yeah.
Very easy. Like, you can literally do that from one season to the next. We don't care what anyone's saying. We're not going to take a vote anymore. We're just going to eliminate this. It's no longer an issue. We'll have officials at every time. I think that's coming. There's just more pressing issues, I think, right now. And I think that's probably deep down, like, the ACL is like, they're analyzing everything. They're like, yeah, we can do something about that, but that's just not the most important thing right now.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah. We got too in depth on that.
We did.
It's time for another dramatic reading.
Let's do it. Cornhole Jesus. The ignorance it takes to talk shit about a team winning doubles in a certain division when their PPR was exactly in the guidelines and their DPR was very small is exactly why I moved straight into advanced. No one complains more in cornhole than grown men that just aren't quite good enough to win.
Man, is that...
Preach.
That is... What's your PPR?
So, we talked a little bit about this on the happy hour call. I do think that right now we are in a state where you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, depending on the division, right? 5 years ago, if I was averaging what I'm averaging now, right, like mid-eights in most tournaments, I'm winning competitive probably pretty easily, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is before we're really tracking stats and stuff, but if I was throwing mid-eights 5 years ago, I'm definitely winning competitive.
For sure.
If I throw mid-eights now, I might win a game or two in competitive, and the winner of that is going to probably be in the nines. Now, when people look at that and they start complaining like, oh, you should be going here. Like, if it's a one-time thing, like, we can all get hot in a certain day. Right? Like, it's going to happen. Exactly. Like, you can go in competitive and throw a 10.
That's how you win the tournament that day.
Correct. Now, I will say, if you show up and you show out and you have those stats, you need to be bumped up.
Time to move on out.
That does need to be policed a little bit, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
I do agree with that. Like, the ACL and directors as a whole, you can't be afraid to move somebody up, even if it is a fluke thing. And they already showed that their ability, their top tier was at this level. They don't have to win three times and then move up.
But I also think that they're taking the right steps to get there. I mean, they're logging all this data from everyone playing. Correct. Now. Everything's recorded.
Correct.
So, yeah, I mean, yes, there's guidelines. We're starting to get more and more data for those guidelines. The problem is everyone's just getting better fast because the game's not that hard.
Correct.
So, yeah, there's a steep increase from, like, being a really good cornhole player to being a pro. And the problem is that being a really good cornhole player in most areas, you can still be in competitive.
Yeah.
So, like, it's the nature of the game. Like, that's why intermediate is dominating a lot of these areas, because it's people just out there having fun. And that those are the bigger numbers, because the people up in competitive and stuff are just, they've been playing so long that they're just really good now.
Yeah. And I get it. It's the natural inclination. If you're, like, let's say, let's use competitive, right? You're in the competitive division and you go and you play. and you lose and you throw really well, right? Like you average a good point, you walk away and like this motherfucker's sandbagging. Maybe the guy's not sandbagging. Maybe he just played really well that game.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe the next game he's gonna go throw a 7.
We have those intrusive thoughts when we lose to people 100%. All the time. But listen, afterwards I'm like, eh, I mean,
the last time I played singles was at a regional.
Yeah.
I threw probably the best game I had in several years in that game one. I averaged over a 9. Like, and for me, that's a very good, like, long game. I think the game went like 20 something rounds, right? Was throwing very well. I ended up losing a close match. The kid that I was throwing against was really good. He had a really good day. He had one blind draw, one doubles. I didn't walk away thinking like he's sandbagging. I thought like, okay, if I want to move to advanced, I need to be able to win that game.
Yeah, I need to beat him.
If I win that game, okay, then I show, like, to me, like, okay, I'm ready to go advanced or an open level.
For sure.
It's going to happen every day and somebody in there. So I think in general, we have to get rid of the, like, if you're throwing an 8 PPR, like, you belong in advanced. It's, the lines are going to be blurred.
For sure.
And again, you look at tournaments in competitive now in 2024, go back 3 years ago. If we had the stats for what the PPRs were in the same division, I guarantee you, I bet it's almost like a point higher.
Oh, easily. Yeah.
I really do.
I agree. And by the way, the Cavs did win.
I know. I saw.
Yeah. So they overturned that foul.
Which is good. Clearly, the replay showed there was zero contact at all. So suck it, Boston. And hey, we turned the game out. We were down by like 14 with like 5 minutes.
Came all the way back. So. I think we were down by like 22 at one point. So
hey, yo.
Victory for the Cavs.
We got one more, I think.
Don't sleep on them. We do.
All right. One more little dramatic reading here. How about that?
Chad Stringer. Over 20 years, over 325 wins, 300 seconds, 300 thirds, 15 leagues in a row. Two fuck clowns make me wants to retire again. Fuck punk bitch. Sean's just slacking on the piano.
I just kind of threw me off. Like, I'm still confused.
A grown man.
I've read it 10 times. So, okay, what I'm trying to decide is he's obviously been in this league for 15 years. Got that, right? So we're breaking down to reading comprehension. 325 first? Is he saying over 15 years he's taken 325
It's 20
first?
Years, and I think he is one in the league over 20-year span. He has 325 wins.
Okay.
As in, like, your weekly head-to-head matchups, he's won 325 times.
Okay. But how do you
take results
second?
At the end?
Oh, seconds.
And he thirds. Has taken only seconds and thirds. So,
okay.
I think that's where his frustration lies, maybe.
Because it seems like a lot.
I think the exaggeration comes with the 300 seconds, 300 thirds, you know?
Okay, I get what you're saying. Okay. Kind of.
Yeah.
I get it.
I don't know if I'm right. That's pure speculation. That's how I read it.
I will say when you're in a league, sometimes it can, like, your experience can be ruined by like one team.
Yeah. But I mean, maybe he just needs to drop down a division.
Or what I used to do is like, you just have to embrace it and then just turn it into a rivalry. Mm-hmm. Like when we were in league, there was at least one team and one guy specifically, his name was Larry, that me and Larry would we did not like each other. Like, it's very apparent, and we would always throw against each other.
Yeah.
Always. Like, even if, like, they were trying to be slick and be like, all right, we're going to switch arms. Like, I just go against him.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I knew that, like, I could get under his skin. Now, again, they beat us a few times, but most of the time I was able to get an edge because even if he got off to a good start, I knew as soon as I got hot, he would fall apart. I knew all I had to do is, like, if I threw my first three bags in, oh, he's going to melt. So, like, sometimes it turn like the negative experience from something, turn it into a positive, just make it fun for yourself. Yeah. Like, even if you don't have to talk shit, but like turn it into like your own internal rivalry against it.
And then we also had the rivalry with Tim Huguard and Jason Shumney.
Oh yeah, love
where it. We would just face them every single regional in the first round.
And might I say, like, we got our asses waxed for a long time.
Yeah.
And then we finally started giving them a little bit of game. And then we finally beat them. I think we beat them like three times in a row.
Yeah.
Like, to us, like, that was like, we finally made it. And we used to tell him, like, and we'd always face him in the first two rounds.
Yep. And then all of a sudden, Shumney just turns into a next level thrower. But we'll never beat him again.
But it was fun, though.
It was fun. Fun while it lasted.
It was back when we were playing all the time kind of thing. But
when we
always
were
fun with the dramatic readings. All right, let's do the bag review.
Let's.
And it's not just making them smaller. They completely reshape them. They make them more supple and symmetrical.
I gotta catch a glimpse of these warlocks. Let's make a move.
Well, chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, you're a fan of cornhole. And if you're a fan of cornhole, you don't really need a whole lot of equipment, but probably the most important thing is a good set of boards.
And you're always in the market for new boards.
Always, really. So if you are in the market currently, I highly suggest you check out Gnarly. All right, if you go to gnarlybags.com, they have pro-level boards, awesome graphics. You can customize your board. They do have just stock designs as well. But you're going to get stability and consistent play. You can't really ask for anything more from a good set of pro-level cornhole boards. So go to gnarlybags.com, grab your set of boards today. And if you use code BIGASP, you're going to save yourself some money.
Nice.
And how about, like, they do boards, obviously, right?
Yes.
They also make bags, and they made a little bit. They're making some noise in the bags bracket. How about Gnarly?
Heck
sneaking
yeah.
in there with a cult, little cult following and stuff. So,
I like it.
Hell yeah. All right. So bag review today. Up today is the number one seed in the hybrid bracket right
Indeed.
Now.
Indeed.
It's the Elite Pro Sniper.
Elite Pro Sniper. Sniper. Not to be confused with the mediocre Pro Sniper.
The elite one.
Yes.
It's a lucky bags.
Surprised.
all right. So these are probably the two most popular materials that are used right now. Most bag. It was just like when everyone had to come out with a herringbone bag, everyone had to have a carpet bag. Now everyone has to have a hybrid bag. This is just the lucky bags version of that.
Mm-hmm.
Viper R carpet, Viper slick side. So you got a 5.5-ish. We'll call that, right?
Yeah.
Depending on the board, sometimes a 6. Slick side, you're going with a 9.
Yeah.
Right? It is, in general, a little fuller of a bag. A
little bit, but it's also one of the biggest bags I've thrown in recent memory. Man.
Yeah. You are not, Mark Richards, if he threw this, is not going to have an issue with, like, this bag's too thin or it's too small.
No, it'll pass all
it's
specs.
It's going to meet the specs. For sure. It's a little fuller. It has a nice blended fill. This is probably, honestly, if you're a power dragon kind of guy, this is one of the closer ones I felt feel-wise in my hand with the fill. Again, Dane touched on it. Big, big template. Slightly rounded corners. The one thing I'm impressed with is for mass-produced level of bags, this is pretty fucking clean,
really
man.
Nice, yeah,
the closing really seam is really nice. All the edges
and
are
the rounded
nice.
Corners don't have that like weird buckle to them. Like it's well done. It's well made.
Listen, give props to Lucky Bags. Once upon a time, and it's the game was growing and the bags were getting popular. They were having a hard time keeping up with demand. The quality was hit or miss. You know what I mean? Whether the bag was a different color than you thought it was, maybe like the closing seam, or they're having some issues. It seemed like they cleaned all that up.
Yeah.
And they're running on all cylinders because this was a very clean bag. I got them within a week after I ordered them. So hats off to Lucky Bags for that. But in general, if you're a hybrid bag fan, and you're a Lucky Bags guy, or you're a Lucky Bags guy, and you're like, I kind of want to get the carpet. But
yeah, let me get something.
You're not going to go wrong with this. Yeah. It's a very nice bag, and I threw it very well.
Yeah, you did, and I mean, I threw it well too. It's again, like we're seeing all these hybrid bags
it's
come
not,
out. It's
it wasn't
just another
hard.
Good one.
Like, Dane and I played a match, right? I think you were throwing the Fallen, right?
I was, yes.
You were throwing the Fallen. Again, we're just testing bags, seeing how it goes. I grabbed these. These were not completely broken in yet, but for me, it wasn't that much of a change because like I already felt comfortable speed. I already kind of had a good feel of like how to manipulate the bag just because all I've been throwing your Power Dragons recently. It was a very easy transition going over
for sure.
With this material, you can get it to hop and roll and stuff like that, especially with the fill, cause it's a little bit fuller of a bag. But with this material, it doesn't cut all that much unless you take a little off and really don't rotate it that much. Yeah. You really have to angle it. And I'm learning that a little bit. Mm-hmm. But again, it's super hole friendly. It does not just like sit on the hole typically.
No, I mean,
this stuff just kind
of
pours
both
in.
Both of these fabrics just pour in.
And so again, like, I felt like I was almost cheating because like the bag felt so big on the board that it was giving me almost like an extra inch on either side that all I had to do was hit it and it was going to kind of drip in.
Yeah.
It's one of the things we loved about the Power Dragon as well. You're going to get with this Elite Pro Sniper. My biggest critique of this bag is the fucking name, man.
Yeah.
Like Mike, love you, dude. Like you're a solid dude. You know, I respect the hell out of you. But like when we were coming with the brainstorming thing, it just seems lazy to me that you just add an elite to it.
Yeah, I mean,
you already had the Pro Sniper. You already established the Pro Sniper as like it was the best of the bags last year.
Yeah,
like it's one of the most. You can argue it's the most popular bag in the game last year.
Yeah,
why just throw a lead on this?
But let's look deeper into Lucky Bags.
Okay,
what direction are they going here?
I don't know.
You have the Surefire and the Pro Sniper, but then you also have like the Celtic, One time, didn't he have like the Shamrock out? Like,
yeah.
Are you going like the Irish Lucky route? Or are you going military route.
Is that important for you for bad companies? Do you like when they stay consistent?
I think for a brand, it's important.
Okay. Like if you notice, like again, what his Reynolds brand's not done, hurting. Reynolds has stuck with like the weather theme recently, right?
Yeah.
You have Thunder. They had Renegade. They had Cyclone. I mean, yeah. it makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Lucky Bags is going. I guess it's staying consistent along that same family. I just felt like you had an opportunity there to start a whole thing for a bag that you felt like is going to be pretty popular, unless the marketing scheme was like, if you like a pro sniper, this is a better version.
Yeah, this is going to be your second favorite pro
sniper. We've seen big bag companies like this. A bag becomes popular if their pros are also throwing it.
Yeah.
I don't know if this will become a bestseller unless we see like a Tony Smith, unless we see a Mark Richards throwing it.
Yeah.
How do you go away from it when you're already the number one player in the world, right? I mean, unless this adds another avenue, but I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, exactly. Like to me, like we've also seen that they can do those shots with pro snipers.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, this will make it a little easier to do it. Do they have to? I don't think they do. So to me, like, don't fix something that's not broke.
I'll be interested. I think that obviously in like a popularity contest, this bag's going to do fine because it has Lucky Bags on it.
Yeah, for sure.
Are we going to see this bag coming in all over the place? I doubt it, only because it's late to the game. We've seen it before.
Yeah.
Reynolds Thunder is kind of the same thing. Really good bag. No one's really doing it unless you're a Reynolds diehard guy.
Yeah.
No one's really going out to buy it because they were late to the market.
Yeah.
And I feel like this one
it'll is catch kinda, up eventually.
It'll though. Do fine.
Yeah,
exactly. It's going to do fine. I don't think I just feel like Lucky Bags have done such a good job with finding an avenue for certain players. We'll just see if other people want to move over to this.
Yeah, for sure.
Design score
for I know me. You're like,
I love the color.
I do like this color scheme. It is like a little plain, but again, just stock. I mean, I'll give it like a 92.
Yeah, I'm going to go 90. It's solid. I mean, it's nothing flashy or anything like that. Performance wise, where are you going?
I'll go with I like it. I'll go 83 on it.
Yeah, I'm going to go a little bit higher. I threw it well, man. And again, this is just if somebody come up to a blind draw and they want to throw,
throw this,
I feel 100%. Very, very comfortable. I'm going to go an 85.
Yeah.
It deserves it.
Doesn't surprise me one bit.
Yeah, it's a very nice bag.
Heck yeah.
Cue that rap horn.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Reach us at Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Big Ass Cornhole.
And Facebook at Big Ass Cornhole Podcast. Thanks again to our sponsors. Visit dragonbags.com to grab yourself some great, great bags and drop code BigAsp12 at checkout. It's going to save you some money. And cornholecoffee.com, go grab Life by the Beans. Drop code BigAsp at checkout to save yourself money on some delicious coffee.
Stop throwing ugly bags, and you can do that by going to blackjackcornhole.com. Code BigAsp is going to save you 10%. If you're in the market for a new set of bags, why not check out Black Sheep Baggers? If you're feeling like a black sheep, well, you don't have to.
Bah.
Go to blacksheep.com, use code BigAsp, and you're going to save yourself 10%. And don't forget, if you're in the market for a new set of shiny, fancy, pro-level boards, go to gnarlybags.com and use code BigAsp, and you'll save yourself 10%.
Go slap around some big Ds.
Hell with your hands. Yeah. Oh, and then don't forget. So I don't know if people noticed, if you were subscribed to our Facebook page, every podcast is now automatically uploaded to YouTube.
Look at that.
So
bingo, bango, bango.
So if you are a YouTube person for your podcast, every episode is now up there, even from, I think I started it in January.
Okay.
All right. So starting from January this year going forward, every episode will automatically be downloaded. Still, obviously, Apple, Spotify, everywhere you find them, but yeah. YouTube is now included.
Heck yeah. Love it.
If you're like, God, these guys are just incredible. Like their voices just sound so good. And they sound like just really cool guys.
Sultry.
How could I support them? Well, you can do that by obviously subscribing, liking all the stuff, but go to Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/bigasscornhole for the price of a beer a month, you can get some bonus content. You can even join for free. If you want to just get a little taster, see if you like the content we're putting out. We put, so I try to post on there like every day, at least something. But bonus stuff is for paid people. Yeah. We have stickers on the way. The stickers came in. I meant to bring one over to you, and I forgot.
Oh, yeah.
I
got to give me some before I head out.
Yep. They look, they turn out excellent.
I love stickers.
Patreon people are going to be getting stickers and the Patreon exclusive sticker. Nice. I'm super excited for. But yeah, go to patreon.com/bigasscornhole, and you can join like our happy hours, be eligible for bag giveaways, a whole bunch of stuff. Somebody's getting a set of mini boards.
Yeah, we just, I mean, happy hour gave away a set of mini boards on it. Like,
I'm going to reach out to him tomorrow. Congrats to Jarrett.
No, Jarrett got him.
Spun the wheel this morning at work, so I will be sending those mini boards directly over to you, sir.
Sweet.
So congrats for that. And yeah, so go to patreon.com/bigasscornhole. We greatly appreciate all the support. We wouldn't be able to continue to do this without you guys. I mean, a little bit of exciting news. We decided where our next travel is going to be.
Yes.
So Dane's obviously going to Texas.
I am.
In a month. But I was sitting here, I'm like, well, I don't get to travel anywhere in March. Not going anywhere in April either. So I was getting the itch bad. So we decided we're going to have more details coming up, but we're going to Arizona.
Let's
weekend
go.
Of National Number 2 that's in Colorado.
We're going to stop in Colorado on a flight and then just continue on to Arizona.
Yeah, we're going to go check out whole nine yards. And I think we're going to try to put together a little watch party for the ACL.
Nice.
For the Nationals at whole nine yards. So we're going to partner up there. So stay tuned for that. So if you're in Arizona, you're in the area and you like to golf, hit us up.
For sure.
We're bringing the clubs. We're first tee time's already set for Friday.
Yes, it is.
If you want to golf Saturday, we'll try that too. But we're going out there, get as much content, check out whole nine yards and, this cornhole community that they keep preaching about, that Gina does a really good job talking about in the interview. So the interview with Gina was just so good.
Yeah, she's like, fantastic. Really
comfortable really on the microphone. Really well spoken. I hope you guys enjoy the interview. We had a blast with it. But yeah, so I don't think we have anything else.
I think we're ready to send people on.
We are. So enjoy the interview. Gina Ramirez is coming up next. But as always, we hope you throw it straight. That's nothing but four baggers from here on out.
Cornhole it.
Later.
One.
Welcome back to the Big Ass Cornhole Podcast. We're now joined by ACL Pro Miss Gina Ramirez. What's going on?
What's up, guys?
I'm glad you're feeling better. I know we were supposed to be on last week, but you came down with some stuff. You said you're still feeling a little under the weather, but look, feeling a little bit better, starting to bounce back.
Yeah, I am getting back to my routine tomorrow, no matter how I feel. So,
That's the spirit. Sometimes you got to just force it.
That's the spirit. Yeah. You said we were talking for a few minutes before we got on, and you said you had a regional this past weekend. You weren't feeling that great, but you decided just to kind of like power through it. And you said you had like, what is your drink of choice when you're playing, when you're trying to power through something like that?
You know, when I first get there, I usually get like a Red Bull vodka. That's my go-to.
Pretty
I love Tito's.
Okay. Okay.
And then I'll just drink like High Noons or White Claw.
Okay.
I don't really drink beer unless it's a hot summer day, but.
You get a few of those in Arizona.
Yeah.
Okay. Here or there.
I was like, isn't that just Arizona?
Is it, what is the weather like for you guys like right now? Like, is it still?
It's perfect.
Yeah, like, I bet. It's probably paradise.
Damn it. It is honestly perfect all year round except like June through September.
Okay, all right.
So those are our sweet months here, and then the rest of the year, shit.
I think you just solved it. Like we just need to move to Arizona for like 9 months a year.
Yeah, and back to Cleveland. I got it.
Well, today we snuck in a beautiful day today. It was sunny. All right, we saw the sun.
It touched 70,
and it was 70 degrees.
Yeah,
it was. I mean, that's pretty damn good for March.
I mean, that's like midsummer for us.
Yeah, it was a nice day outside. I actually got to throw
it's been 70 and sunny for the past month here.
Nice. Hell yeah. So you're going into your second year as an ACL pro, right?
Yes.
Last year, you kind of slid under the radar for a lot of the season, and then you kind of burst onto the scene at the pro shootout. So first of all, what was that experience like? Because like going from, you know, like I'm a rookie, like I'm trying to make a name for myself to like, holy shit, I'm on a broadcast and you fucking win it with style. I mean, what was that whole experience like?
It was crazy, like insane to win at home. But also like, I didn't really get a rookie season last year because I got pulled up like 2 weeks before the first national.
That's crazy.
So it was rough. My first couple nationals, it was insane how I went from one of like the lowest points in my cornhole career, and then like Mesa hit and it was just take off from there.
Were you feeling good going into that tournament, or was this just like you got really hot that day?
I just went in like I wanted to win. Like, okay, I'm gonna win at home, and I honestly, it was kind of, I don't want anyone to come into my territory and win.
I like it. And you ended in style. I mean, like, you can't, like, that's like, it's like bottom of the ninth, bases loaded kind of thing. I mean, for a cornhole person, am I hitting an airmail?
It's like the shot that you like tell yourself you're going to hit when you practice. You pulled it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was pretty pissed in that moment because I was winning the whole game.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, of course, the last round. But now I'm like, well, obviously I want to win that way.
So then that kind of like propelled you a little bit, because then I know going into Spencer's, like you ended up playing with Cheyenne this year.
Yeah, me and Cheyenne took Spencer's.
And how did that whole like partnership happen?
She messaged me probably like a couple weeks after the shootout and asked me if I wanted to run it. And I was like, hell yeah.
Sweet. Okay. That's cool. I mean, recognizing game, you know what I mean? Kind of thing. So that's good.
Yeah. We had talked like a couple weeks before that because, she needed like a crew cut partner or something for Spencer's.
Okay.
And I reached out to her and they had already filled the team. And then the shootout happened and then, she was obviously watching and then messaged me soon after that. So, sweet. And then I had won the Mesa Open. And then like the week after we had a national and I took third at that national for women's. So it was like around that same time that she hit me up.
Sweet. So in general, how long have you been playing for?
About 2.5 years.
So only 2.5 years?
Yes. It just actually popped up on my Facebook memory the other day. I mean, I like played probably about 3 years ago, but when I first started playing cornhole, when I first saw cornhole, I kind of made a joke about it.
Like, we all do.
Like everyone else, you know, because we're a horseshoe family. So my family all plays horseshoes. So my dad and my brother play horseshoes. They've won a lot of tournaments in Arizona and New Mexico.
Okay.
Then they kind of stopped playing for a few years. And one camping trip, they brought out cornhole and I kind of picked it up right away. And then I didn't see it again, probably for about like 6 months later. And then my first tournament into cornhole was the Arizona State Championships.
Okay.
And I was hooked after that.
Oh yeah. What do you enjoy about it? Like what, you've been an athlete, right? For quite some time.
Yeah.
What is
my
it,
whole life?
What I've is it about like sports. Cornhole that you like?
Honestly, I mean, like if you guys were athletes once, like I played all the way through college. So when that ended, it was kind of like, what now? I mean, you go your whole life playing sports and I played multiple sports in college. I played 2 sports. So when that ended, I felt like a big part of my life ended and I didn't really know what to do. So when cornhole came, I just like the competitiveness came back and I love it.
Oh yeah. What sports did you play in college?
I played soccer and softball.
Okay. What positions did you play?
I played shortstop and second, middle infield.
Okay.
And then soccer, I played forward. I only played soccer for a couple years, but I played all 4 years in softball.
Sweet.
Just, I mean, still dual sport athlete at collegiate levels, like not an easy thing to do.
No, not at all.
So that's pretty crazy.
One of the hardest things I've done.
yeah, for sure. Hell yeah. So how did you stumble across? So you're a prominent, proud member of Dragon Bag Nation. Right. So how did you come to partner up with Dragon Bags? How did they become your sponsor?
Well, Daniel lives in Arizona and Arizona is such a tight cornhole community. Like if you guys come to Arizona, I always hear people say like Arizona is so different. You guys all like support each other. And that's kind of how it is. And Daniel, when I was with Ultra, he was always watching my games just, you know, not as a bag sponsor, but just as a good buddy.
Yeah.
And we started talking and I told him I'm ready to just, I don't want to be switching bag companies every year. I want to start a family and a franchise. And we had the same goals and plans. So it was the easiest decision I've made, honestly, going to Dragon Bags.
Now, what have you been throwing primarily? Power Dragon?
I have been throwing Power Dragons, but you know what? This past weekend at the regional, my Power Dragons got stolen at the Mesa Open.
Oh, no shit.
And I'm so picky with my bags. Like, I will break them in an exact way, and then I won't use them only at tournaments. So on Saturday, I was, like I told you, I wasn't feeling good. I knew it'd be a short day for me. So I'm like, you know what, let's throw the Dirty Dragons. Ooh, okay. And I actually loved them. Like, I think they're going to be, I don't want to say I'm switching over to Dirties, but I'm definitely going to have my favorite set of Dirties with me at all times.
You can get them to move just a little bit more than a Power Dragon. You know what I mean? I mean, you are going to sacrifice some on, I don't want to say hole friendliness, but I mean, definitely speed. You know what I mean? And, but if you're, if you can throw a slick side, like you're fine, but it definitely moves a little bit more, which I listen, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, just depending on how accurate you are.
For me, it's bad because when it moves more, it's like a 90 degree cut.
Yeah, goddamn.
And then it just shoots off and like takes out somebody's shin.
Yes.
Can't control it.
Yeah, I was definitely messing around with them on Saturday during singles. Like I was going for like the low block to see how my push would be different compared to my powers. And the slick side is just great whenever you can't get the bag to move. And I didn't have any trouble with it. So I'm excited to see my play with the dirties.
What is it about Arizona and the culture out there about like you guys all supporting each other? You know what I mean, because like that's, I don't want to say it's rare, but like it kind of is. Most of the cornhole communities you go to there, it's a little bit cutthroat. You know what I mean? Like yeah. It's very cliquish. And I have heard, and like everyone we've had on from Arizona before, it's all been the same thing. Like you guys are all kind of close knit. You all kind of support each other, loyalty to like the local representation kind of thing. So what is it about that, you think?
I think it starts at the top. Todd, you guys know Todd. Todd Kosicki and Nick, honestly, too. Nick and Todd and then Athena Delgado, like, honestly, like, the directors all come together as well. So they do a great job in, like, keeping us all together as one. If one person's having a regional, you're not going to see two regionals going on at the same time. So I think it definitely starts at the top with the directors.
Yeah, you just sold me. Arizona is definitely on our list next
year. It's on the list.
It was on this. Sure. It was on the list this year too. And it's just like, I feel like February was like here and gone.
I have no idea
why it even existed.
You know what it is? Like Christmas happens and like all the holidays. I feel like it takes all of January for me to like get my bearings straight again.
Mm-hmm. Kind of. Like, yeah. And then February short. Yeah.
And then you're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's less days in this month. God damn it. Yeah,
and it was even a long February. You know what I mean?
Yeah, thanks for that. Now Patty's Day is on a Sunday.
Yeah, cripes. Yeah, you know, how do we seriously get fucked on that?
Yeah, we really did.
Like, it was all lined up, just to be perfect.
But I still took Monday off.
I knew you would.
Yeah. I'll still celebrate.
Zero question about that. What time do you get back in?
Like 12:45.
Okay. Are you going to the tournament, the Melissa Lambert?
Fundraiser. I am going to that tournament.
All right, so Dane's going there too. So Dane,
okay,
will be there.
Cool.
Yeah. Yep. So Dane will be there.
And you'll get to see just how mediocre I am at cornhole. It's pretty impressive.
And you did talk to your partner, right, Brandon, last night?
I messaged him. Okay. I got to make sure that that's okay though, because I don't know what rating I have at TCL.
I think you're gonna be fine,
right? I told him, I'm like, my SPR is shit. So,
yeah,
like,
you're okay. Good. You'll be fine. You're good. Yeah. I was fine, like playing competitive. Like they didn't.
Okay.
Have any issue
yeah.
with it.
All right.
Yeah,
good.
You're gonna be fine.
Well, you guys are all really good out there. Like, you don't have to worry about me. It's fine.
So, what do you think so far about the team aspect of everything? Because last year the ACL, I know that it was like your rookie season. You kind of got thrust into everything. But they were making like a really big deal about the teams event. And this year, like, not that they're not making a big deal of it, it just doesn't seem like it's kind of at the forefront. What has been your experience so far in the teams event? Do you like that aspect? Do you feel like it's going to work kind of going forward, this model?
Are you talking about like the like Arizona Bird?
Yeah, we prefer the Ohio Aviators, but it's fine. It's okay.
I prefer the Marauders, but
the courtesy lap, thank you.
I honestly like that they started the minor league teams. Because I picture myself when I was trying to become pro, you know, I would have loved to be on a minor league team. Like, I think that brings a whole new aspect to those players that are being able to play on broadcast now. So I think it's awesome. I think we have some growing to do, but we are at the pioneer stages of cornhole, so we kind of have to deal with all the yucky stuff.
In the minor leagues, with your guys' travel schedule this year and how everything's lining up, there's going to be a lot of minor league players that are going to get opportunities to play, I have a feeling. Like, a lot.
Oh, for sure. We just had Arizona, Tucson, and Phoenix play each other. I think it was at the Mesa one, and seeing players from Arizona who I mean, not in a bad way, but I never thought to see on broadcast, and they're killing it on broadcast. And I'm like, that's so cool that they're getting that opportunity.
And I just found out yesterday, and I don't know if this is like public knowledge, like, or really well known, but so the winner of single, like, so like the championship matches for National One are not being played that same weekend. The winners of those events are playing 2 weeks later on a for a broadcast. What in the actual fuck is going on here?
Like, I actually think it's the following weekend.
Is it the following weekend?
I have it right here. I could be wrong. I have it somewhere here, but
because I know that there's an open in what is it, Wisconsin or something? I'm trying to remember like how it all lines up. Like for like if you won National Two. Going into National 3. But yeah, like you don't, they're not hosting. Basically, they're having like another separate date for like the broadcast for, I think. And I think they're also lining up either a teams event or a pro shootout or something like that with the finals.
I'm assuming that it has to do with like the TV deals. Like,
it definitely just takes away something a little bit away from like that, like the national feel. Like, you know what I mean? Like you're getting us to a point and you're blue balling us. You know what I mean? Like we got to wait 2 more weeks. You know what I mean? To finally, and again, listen.
Well, it's because Nationals are going to become open.
You're a pro player. I'm sure there's days where you feel like you can't miss. And then I'm sure there's days that like you're like, that was just, I just don't have it today, right?
Oh,
you don't know what day that's going to be.
I think it's going to be the biggest part of it all. I honestly didn't really think of that part at all. But yeah, some days you're just, I don't know how I'm going to feel when I'm just completely on and then I'm ready to go. And they're like, oh, you have to come this state next weekend.
And there's a lot that happens in between. I mean, a 2 week stint, I mean, with flights and everything involved, there's chances of you getting sick again. And like, I don't know. It's
but I will say I do like that because whenever I did make it to the championships at a national, I had no one there, you know. It was my first time since like the Mesa Open. Nobody was there, you know, for me watching me on broadcast. But I think that's one of the main reasons is at an open, we get all kinds of players, you know, so we're going to have a crowd there, a big crowd.
No, I get
compared
it.
Compared to a national, where it's just
100%. It makes sense. Like, do they want to make the broadcast loud and proud? And it makes sense. Like pairing it up like that. It sucks for you guys. Definitely. Like it's a big burden now travel wise on the pro players, potentially, you know what I mean? Like if you win now, I'm okay. If the ACL comes out and been like, hey, if you make the finals, we're going to pay your way to come 2 weeks later. Then I'm like, hey, we're good. Like I'm all aboard, make the broadcast sweet. But I don't think that's the case. And if that's not the case, like that's a lot to ask you guys. Like that's a lot of travel. Like you got to,
I will say though, it is less travel than last season, the way they set the schedules up this season. But I mean, that would be awesome in the next coming seasons. If like, you do make the national and you do get your flight and all that.
Oh, for sure. Hell yeah. All right. Let me pull this up. I'm going to pull up some of the,
you have a bunch of questions. I'll pull them up as well.
Your internet. Once I saw people sharing it, I saw my family jump in and that's never good.
Oh, those are the best questions. All right. So, all right, do you prefer to play indoors or outdoors?
Indoors. Thanks to Hole 9, I am now spoiled and I love playing indoors.
Okay, I like this one. Dane, you gotta answer this too.
Okay.
If you could pick/choose a celebrity to play with, right? Like let's say we're going like the Super Hole event kind of thing. Okay. All right, you could pick an athlete, celebrity. Who would be your pick to play with?
I'm choosing Aaron Donald from the Rams Serena Williams.
Oh, okay. Those are two really good choices. I like that.
I'm going to go a different route. Give me like Adam Sandler.
Oh, love that.
Right?
And you guys would fit perfectly together.
Yeah, I think we'd have a good time. And
that's a really good
he's
pick.
Somewhat athletic-ish. Like maybe he could be okay at cornhole too.
Like, I would want somebody where I'm like, I feel like we could be friends. Like where I'm like, I hope we can
that's
be
hard,
friends.
Man. You're not very likable.
I know. So I'm thinking, I mean, I would want, like, honestly, I'd want somebody like that. Give me like Tiger Woods or something. I just want the opportunity like to meet him.
Yeah. And Tiger, there's a different Tiger out there now. There's some levity to him. You know, for sure. he's got kids and he's just, you know, he's kind of like
John Daly.
Yeah. John Daly would definitely be a baller too.
Cause like, yeah, for sure. Cause like, then I know for sure we're going to go out after.
Yeah. And you're going to wear cool pants.
Yes.
So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you get one?
Yeah. I mean, I got to ask one of your sister's questions, I believe. What nicknames do you go by?
Oh, this is good.
In sports, people just called me G. There's been talk here in Arizona that I need a nickname. I don't think I need a nickname. but yeah, that's, I don't know why she's asking that question.
It's right up there with the most embarrassing moment question.
I mean, can you go like G-Ram? I mean, we got J-Ram out here in Cleveland.
I could go G-Ram.
You could be G-Ram. She's like, I hate it.
I like it.
You can be honest. A fellow pro, Jeremiah Ellis, one of our favorite dudes, he wants to know, would you rather fight 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck? That's true, man.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
100's a lot.
We
more
always
than
get
think.
Way too deep into these questions.
But you got to think, though, like 100's a lot, though.
100's a lot. 100 is a lot. One.
Yeah, because
I'm
like,
used to being the smallest one anyway.
Well, I'm thinking like a duck, like even if it's big, I think I could still mess it up. Yeah, it's a duck. But 100 mini horses running around, dude, if they start bucking at your shins and stuff, I mean that shit'll hurt. Like,
okay, you're at a golf course.
Yes.
And a normal sized duck just starts barreling at you, wings flapping. You're
I've
not
had
like
this
startled a little
I've
bit.
I've had this happen.
But you're not startled a little bit.
Sean, I
can
had
you
a,
imagine a horse sized duck flying at you, right, like
secret time. I was out at Hickory Nut.
Okay.
You know, the one hole with the giant tree
yeah,
in the middle, there was always the geese that would nest there.
Yeah.
And one day I literally hit my ball right in the middle of the fairway, nowhere near the water. And all of a sudden, goose comes charging at me, wings up, like honking away. I like just finished hitting because the thing was pretty far away when it was like coming towards me, and it like kept following me. I may have taken my pitching wedge to it and killed it because like it was like snapping at me. I gave it two snaps and I had the pitching wedge in my hand, and I may or may not have killed the goose. It's self-defense.
He buried
That's
it.
All I can say.
And he said a prayer.
If he would have had a pitching wedge, he would have done the same thing to me. All right? That's the way I justify it.
So that doesn't change your answer?
No.
Imagine a horse-sized like duck or goose coming
at you. Yeah, but I was able to kill that goose with a pitching wedge.
Yeah, pitching wedge is not going to do shit.
I know, but if I have to fight for my life, I'll take the full set, the horse-sized duck.
I know. I'm like talking myself in. I think I'd rather take
100's a lot, like, man.
It is
a lot.
So you'd rather take the one
and those little, you know, those little horses, they're going to be fast, man. And like, you're not outrunning them. I mean, you don't seem like the kind of man that could climb a tree to get away from the horses. No offense.
It's true. I'm not climbing shit. Yeah. I'm going to go down swinging, but that's about it. Yeah.
All right.
Don't even know what to say.
Great question, Jeremiah. I love that. Was a good one.
Let's see.
Okay. Another one from your sister.
Go ahead.
Besides vodka, White Claws, Hot Cheetos, and Slim Jims, what does your diet consist of?
This is such a good one.
During the week, I am boring because I try to hit my protein goal. So I'm just eating like ground beef during the week. But the weekend it is on. I'm on a liquid diet. I'm usually just drinking my way through the weekend because I usually have cornhole on the weekend.
Yep.
It's called Nectar of the Gods for a reason.
It is. It is.
Balance.
Mark Grayson wants to know, does a guy need to play cornhole to date you? And if so, what's minimum PPR? That's so good.
I got to say, it is not, I don't want to say this the wrong way.
No, it's okay.
But
this is what we made a show about those. Yes. Those exact things that are going through your head, we made a living off that.
I've never been a fan of someone who wasn't really athletic and good at something. So if that answers your question.
I got it. So at least a 10 PPR is what you're saying, Mark. So you're out of your no chance. okay. This is kind of more of a serious question. Angel Rodriguez, a third, wants to know, what's the biggest hurdle that you've overcome in your cornhole career so far?
Probably, I mean, I have to work on it daily, but the mental game in cornhole is something else for me. In all the sports that I've played, I never got nervous in any sport I played. Like in softball, like I wanted to be bottom of the ninth, two outs, you know, full count. I want to be up to bat. Cornhole is just something else that I have to work on my mental game like daily. Like I take it pretty serious. A week before the tournament, like I'm watching what I eat on, what I watch on TV, like what I eat that week. I'm making sure I'm meditating every day. So I don't want to say I've overcome it, but it's definitely something that I'm always working on.
Do you feel like your background as like a collegiate athlete has had a positive effect in like your ability to prepare for like big tournaments?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Like it blows my mind that Cheyenne was not an athlete because she just seems to handle it so well. And I feel like being an athlete, you're used to that pressure, you know? So yeah, I definitely think I have a, you all have a one up if you were an athlete for sure.
I think yeah. You're among like the new future of cornhole professionals that we're seeing that like you guys are all like actually treating it like you're athletes. And I'm not saying like that that came out wrong. I'm not saying that you're not. But what I'm saying, you know
what I mean? Like, you're so wrong. No, I like,
you
I
understand
get it.
The sentiment. You guys, what I'm saying, thank
you guys are you. Athletes pass on that. Now, okay.
I have air quotes on that, okay? But you get what I'm saying. But I feel like, so like you, like Mark Richards is another one that strikes me. Obviously, Ryan Smith takes care of him. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like we're seeing, like, gone are the days that we're going to be seeing, like, crop of cornhole. Yeah. Obviously everyone's going to become in every shape and size, but I feel like the preparation that you guys are putting in is in the direct success and like how fast you guys have done well. Like it's obviously there has to be a common link somewhere.
Well, last several people that we've interviewed have all said that you need to have the stamina.
Yeah.
So that starts with taking care of yourself and, I mean, it starts at the mind and works through the body. I mean, it's all connected, man.
When you're playing, are you a self-positive person in your head? Like, I'm great. Like, I can do this. Or are you like me? Like, when you miss a bag, like, you fucking suck. Like, you are the worst piece of shit ever. Like, just the stuff that I'm saying to myself is just terrible. Because, like, that motivates me to, like, then focus. Where are you somewhere, like, normal in between those two?
I have to self-talk to, like, I have to have positive self-talk. That's one of the things, like, leading up to it that week, that's one of my things. Like, if I have a tournament on Friday, that Monday I'm already preparing, and if I have like a negative thought come into my mind, I'm switching it right away. But when I'm in the game, that's a different story. That's what I'm working on right now, because I'm preparing mentally. Like Mesa Open, I prepared mentally leading up to it, and then I noticed after the Mesa tournament, like, okay, you're preparing before, but during the game, you're not correcting, you're wrong. Not in the physical aspect, but in the mental aspect. Like, there was a lot of times where I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Why are you even playing? You know, and that stuff matters when you're trying to compete at a high level.
I get most worried when I look across the boards and I see Sean MFing himself, but that he says something funny about himself that's so degradatory that it makes him laugh, so that he just has this like pissed off smile on his face. And I'm like, he's either going to be like really good now, or it's going to take an even worse turn. I don't know. Which way it's going.
Yeah, I just like to remind myself that I suck. There's like my self talk has never been nice, like in anything I've ever done. Like, you know, I've always been like very hard on myself, and I feel like sometimes it works out, but then other times it doesn't. I feel like that's why sometimes when it comes to like pressure situations, maybe I'm not that good. Like, sometimes maybe I will choke because like I'm putting too much pressure on that moment. I mean, because like the self talk in me is like, you suck, you're gonna miss it anyways. Like, so, and then you start to, if you start to believe it, like you manifest it, I feel like, you know,
yeah, I mean, that's.
Definitely.
I'm a head case.
You are.
Why I'm doing this. Not playing anymore. So we have that fun stuff. All right. I know, Dane, we got this card game a while ago. So I
thought you had some bangers too.
I had to
start with some of them.
Yeah. All right. So I can start with this first one. Yeah. This is actually one we've had before, so I'm interested to hear your answer. You have the ability to either be fluent in every language, or you have the ability to talk with plants and animals.
I'm going to go with talk to plants and animals.
That's
for
a popular
sure.
one. Yeah. I kind of agree. Like, it'd be kind of too awesome
Yeah, why do you gotta? Yeah. You don't have to leave America. It's the greatest place in the world. But hell, I'm walking through the forest and I see a deer. I could have a conversation. Right. Hell yeah. Sign me up.
All right. Would you rather backpack around the world for 6 months with very little money or stay at a luxurious resort, all expenses paid, for 2 weeks?
Resort. Oh, yeah. I don't know how I feel about backpacking.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, give me the nicest hotel for 2 weeks. Yeah, all expenses paid. I'll be just fine. You can go be sweaty and poor.
So there was a time. Backpack, there was a time that I would have probably thought like, oh, backpacking. But then like when I'm in the moment and how stressful life, it would realize, be, yes, I'd be like, dude, why don't I just like go sit on a beach and
be an adult?
Yeah, yeah, or not be an adult for. I mean, you just like.
All right. This seems pretty appropriate, this question. All right.
You sure about that?
You are granted the power to make unicorns real. Oof. Or you're granted the power to make dragons real. It's a big decision.
Well, so unicorns are real. They're in Ireland. So I'm going to go with dragons.
I mean, and I'm not, this is nothing but about dragon bags, but it'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I mean, it seemed to work out pretty well in Game of Thrones.
I was about to say, you watch Game of Thrones.
I mean, like, can you imagine someone be like, I have a unicorn. Be like, oh, that's weird. Like, I have a fucking dragon. Like, you know what I mean? Like, done, right? I mean, it'd be like the questions.
But what kind of dragons are we talking here?
I mean, whatever's in your head. I mean, I don't know, like, the actual names.
I'm just saying, like, are they...
Do you want the Latin name for
there's,
it?
There's whatever? A lot of different depictions of dragons. We're talking, like, huge, massive ones? Or are you thinking, like, just, like, the...
Think of, like, Game of Thrones.
Like, how we'll to train a dragon dragons. I would, like, they'd be cool, too.
Do you have one?
What's that?
You have one?
I do have a question.
Okay, thanks.
Just... All right, so we'll give you a warm-up, all right?
Oh.
How fast could you throw a fastball from an MLB mound?
Ooh.
You know, I used to play baseball before I played softball, and I was a pitcher.
I felt it. I thought it was a good question for you.
I don't know what I ever threw, though, but I'd say I would love if I could still hit, like, 65.
That's a respectable
that shows, like,
you,
for sure.
Yeah, you know baseball.
Yeah, you're grounded. I mean, sure. If I could get close to 70, I would be happy.
I've never had a good arm.
In high school, I clocked in. My fastest fastball ever was 82.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, for a short, 5 foot tall, chubby kid, wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
Next up, if you could live inside of one TV show, what would it be? Sean, you go first. Oh,
that's a good question.
Live inside a TV show?
Yeah.
The Office.
Dude, what a boring, mundane show. I mean, I know they're hilarious, but like,
yeah,
you're literally in an office all day.
Okay.
I do that daily already. I live that life now. I know I don't have like Jim and Dwight with their shenanigans and stuff, but it's all right.
Okay, Rick and Morty. Like, what? I mean,
yeah, that's what I was thinking. Okay.
Oh, that's a good one, Rick and Morty.
I knew it. Like, I was gonna say, I knew that.
Yeah, let's travel to different dimensions and stuff. Like,
I answer on the spot. Yeah. And you just shit all over me for like 2 minutes. There.
I'm disappointed in that one. Pretty sweet. You.
Anyways, Gina, what's your answer? Let's have some fun with this one then too.
Honestly, when you said Rick and Morty, I'm like, yeah, because go travel different dimensions. Who would have wanted to do that?
I knew we'd get along.
God damn it!
Yeah, like,
what's going on here?
You went with just like literally the show is called The Office and reminder, it's inside of an office.
I booked a guest.
I do love The Office though.
It's a great show. I'm not knocking it. I'll probably turn it on after we're done here. But yeah. All right. If you could have an endless supply of anything, what would it be? And it can't be money.
It can't be money.
Well, my sister mentioned it on the question. I love Hot Cheetos, so probably Hot Cheetos.
Hot Cheetos. Heck yeah.
Can I have time? Is that a cheating answer?
No, that's a well thought answer.
Time, for sure. Yeah. I always feel like I'm always rushed. Yeah. I never have enough time to get everything done.
I would go with cars. Not that I want just like a million cars, but when one shits out, just give me another one.
Yes, you, yeah.
Exactly. No, never have to worry about it.
So I know. Yeah, you want a already bought, like paid for
car. Paid for car.
Yeah, just, owned. Yeah. Yeah. No monthly.
But it just falls out of the sky right in front of me. Done. Yep. Like, wow. All right, cool.
Would you want the same car over and over again?
Give me the latest model. I'm not trying to be greedy. All right.
You're simple. I like it.
It's appreciation there.
All right, if you could only watch one actor's movies for the rest of your life, who would it be?
Damn it.
This is always a tough one.
Oh. I don't know if it's because you just said his name earlier, but Adam Sandler movies, like, never yet.
I just wrote his name down.
Yeah.
I was, like, stopped
right, he was up there for me.
All right, so I can't say Adam Sandler.
Yeah, Adam Sandler's off the table.
All right, so there's a few names that, for me, I'm just going to, like, Tom Hanks would be considered.
He's
Denzel Washington is another one.
Another one right on my list.
Matt Damon, believe it or not. I love a lot of Matt Damon's movies. shit, man. Yeah, give me Denzel, probably. I just love too many of his movies.
He definitely took mine. He's never made a bad one.
Yeah.
I'll take Tom Hanks.
Though. Tom Hanks is great, but, like, I feel like I miss out on the action movies with him.
Yeah, you know what? Scrap Tom Hanks.
I mean, you got Brad Pitt, you got Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise is another good one.
I'm going to stay comedy, though, because, like, it's my favorite genre to just, like, turn on and laugh, so give me Will Ferrell.
Okay.
I'll go that
Adam
route.
Sandler, yeah, for sure. That was, like, the first thing I wrote down. I'm like, yeah, he just seems like a cool dude.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the 1A, for sure.
I mean, I get it.
We'd be buddies. I already know it. Yep.
You got another one?
Last but not least.
Oh, yes.
What's the best Starburst flavor?
There's this no question, right? Like, there should be zero debate. Pink, whatever it is.
Whatever.
It's pink.
You know what? Strawberry? I don't really like candy. Like, that. Like, I love chips, but candy?
Okay.
I don't.
All right. What's the, besides hot Cheetos?
Oh, yeah.
Let's say favorite potato chips.
Take it to the ranking. Let's just do it.
Yeah, tier talk. Chips. Give me your favorite potato chips.
Okay, my favorite all time are the Flaming Hot kettle chips.
Flaming Hot, I see
Flaming
a theme.
Hot. Okay, okay. So you chips. Like it yeah. spicy.
All right, so you want a little bit of crunch too.
So that's your 1A. Yeah.
Okay.
You got like a second and a third?
Honestly, that's kind of all I'm buying, that and hot Cheetos.
Okay. Hey, listen, keep it
She's
simple.
She's a simple girl, all right?
Hey, listen, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I had a random thought this morning. I don't know why. I think it was because I was hungry. What is, like, your idea of, like, a perfect breakfast?
Perfect breakfast.
I feel like this is very your wheelhouse.
Yeah, I'm a breakfast.
So,
like,
if you were waking up and you had endless supplies for anything, I want you to walk me through, like, your entire, like, breakfast, like, what would be in front of you as an option.
So for me, I mean, it's a perfectly cooked French omelet. Okay. With some just nasty, greasy, like, delicious breakfast potatoes on the side of it. So you have, like, perfection with, like, just some diner greasy slop that's going to be money and hit home. And then a beautiful either a triple stack of pancakes or
from where?
I mean, Perkins always hit the home run.
Right. Yeah. Right?
I mean, like, for the but I would prefer making them myself. I think I make breakfast really well.
Fair enough.
Or give me, like, a nice waffle.
Okay.
You need a little bit of the sweet with it.
Dane, yes.
And then
I was afraid for you.
Crisp,
for a second.
Yeah, crisp glass of OJ along with a Bloody Mary.
Both.
Yeah, and coffee. You don't know which way you're going to take it to start, but you're always going to finish.
My wife always gives me a hard time, like, when I get, like, alcohol and coffee. She's like, is that a good idea? I'm like, it's never not a good idea.
Yeah.
Like,
if I could find a way to make the alcohol taste good in my coffee, I would do that. But yeah, instead, it tastes better.
We're good. Like, it's just, I always tell them, like, they cancel each other out.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, so you don't want me without the other. How about that?
Yeah.
Go from there. Gina, what about you? What's the perfect breakfast for you?
Okay, I don't like eggs, like, so I don't really eat breakfast. I love bacon, though. Like, I can always get down on some bacon.
Okay.
So if I do go to, like, a Denny's or a breakfast place, I usually get just, like, biscuits and gravy. But I'm a big coffee drinker, so I'll go to, like, a breakfast cafe and I'll just order coffee and be good.
There you go. All right, so you're not, like, a big breakfast person?
No, not at all.
You're just taking coffee black?
no creamer plus sugar.
There you go.
All right.
Listen, yeah, it's like, again, people who are like, oh, I drink my coffee black, it's because like you've never, you just don't like life. See, like, honestly, they make like, stuff that makes it taste better. Like just
the older,
put it in your
coffee, the older that like, I get, I like, if I'm going to have an like after lunch cup of coffee at work for like a little pick me up.
Yeah.
I like it black. I don't
have
know
you
why.
Tried it with cream and sugar though?
I have. My morning coffee has that. But I don't know.
Again.
I just
try it again in the afternoon.
Switch it up. I don't
probably
know.
Even better.
But. It's just, you know, my advanced age. You know, dairy. Just try to eat less of it, you know.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Fair enough.
What about you, Sean? What's your ideal breakfast? A bowl
I gotta
of
go, dude,
cocoa
so hard
pebbles
to go.
And
no, no, I mean, well, listen, there would, I mean, cereal's gotta be involved somewhat. But no, I think
Sean, you just need like the whole table because you'd yeah. be like, well, I want
yeah, lobster Benny,
yeah, I want a
lobster
crepe,
Benedict want... for sure, yeah, eggs Benedict with a little lobster on top
lobster
for sure.
Claws.
Definitely, there has to be something sweet. Depending on what I'm feeling that day, either pancakes,
yeah.
or French toast.
Yeah, you're a big French toast. You actually
go...
make really good French
yes,
toast too.
But, and you can't because like the problem is you can't use the whole egg. You only use the yolk.
Yeah.
Only yeah, and then you can't be afraid. Don't skimp on vanilla. Be strong in cinnamon. Yeah, it's like there's...
I just put all the good shit in there.
Bread, you have to go thicker the better.
Oh,
and
yeah.
sourdough bread typically give, makes the best.
No, brioche, bro.
It's okay. I'm telling you, try sourdough. I'm telling you.
That seems funky. I don't know.
I thought so, too.
You guys need to come to my parents' house for breakfast. My dad, every Sunday, he makes this giant breakfast spread, like pancakes, eggs, bacon, sausage.
That's what I'm talking about.
And it's like...
That's like my favorite thing to do on the weekend. If we're all home, which does not happen very often anymore. If we're all home on a Sunday, I just know I can kill an hour by just making a shit ton of food.
Mm-hmm.
So I just start making food. I'm like, I don't give a fuck if someone's going to come over. Maybe mom and dad are stopping over. If not, the kids are going to eat it. I don't care.
I mean, your brother lives right down the street. You can call him over. He can feed me. That's fine.
But so if you had to choose, how would you rank pancakes, waffles, and French toast?
I think I would have to go waffles A.
Really? Okay.
Then pancakes and French toast.
Okay. I think pancakes are still one for me.
The way I always see it is like an okay pancake is way better than okay French toast.
Yeah, but have you ever had an okay waffle? They're kind of gross.
See, I don't think a waffle misses ever.
Nah, it can.
I mean,
you've never had one then.
They give me some like rubbery, like, I'm not talking Eggos either. Like,
yeah, well, that constitutes as a waffle.
Yeah, but I'm not making it myself. Like,
bougie-ass.
Yeah, I am bougie.
Jesus.
Damn right.
God. Like, literally, my kids live, like, this is, like, one of the five things they eat right now are those cinnamon waffle. And they have to be the cinnamon ones that you pop
yeah.
in. The ones that look like little pieces of bread. There's four of them.
Little
yeah.
French toast pieces.
Right. And guess how many my son wants of the little pieces? He wants five. How many come in a fucking square?
Four. Well, yeah, but then Sean, you're like, well, I got three.
No,
and then we pop two more in.
The dog's pawing at me. Like, she already knows. Like, in the morning, she's like, I heard you put two of those in, motherfucker.
Sean,
like,
you put two more in, three turns into 11 all of a sudden. You're like, whoa, I'm rich.
That was good math,
right?
That was pretty good math. And Sam, I already knew that answer, though.
Shit, yeah.
Good stuff. So, going into this season, what are your goals? Like, where do you think, like, realistically, like, in doubles, singles, women's, it seems like... it's becoming more competitive now in women's. Like, obviously, Cheyenne is still, like, in terms of women's cornhole, still the GOAT right now. But, like, it seems like everyone else is closing the gap. And there's, like, a good, like, core of, like, 6 to 8 of you guys that are going to give her a run for their money. So, like, do you have certain goals that you're looking to get through this season?
Yeah, for sure. I think the ladies are going to come out strong this season, not just in the women's division, but I think you're going to start seeing more women. Being picked for like top 20 and top 50 and stuff like that. I see it at these I didn't really hit like the beginning opens, but now that I'm starting to travel, I'm just seeing all these like no names that I don't really know, and they're just phenomenal.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be an interesting season for sure. Me and my doubles partner have pretty high goals. We made a pretty good run at the Mesa Open. We had a crazy bracket, man. I felt like I was at a national this Mesa Open. Like, the bracket was insane.
And your pro partner is Roy Ball? Roy Bell?
Yeah.
Right.
Chris
okay.
Roy Ball. He's my nephew. So.
Okay. Oh, okay. Is he a rookie this year? Is this his first season?
Yeah, this is his rookie season.
Okay. I watched some of your guys' matches. You guys, I mean, he's a good player.
yeah, when I first looked at the bracket, I'm like, oh great. Like, we had Bella and Spencer right off the back, and then we beat them. And then we had Tony Smith and Fisher Hamilton, and we ended up beating them. And then we ran into Alex Rawls in Holland. They were insane during our game. Like we had just got done beating Tony Smith and Fisher Hamilton by a crazy amount. And then
Alex Rawls was on another level that weekend, man. He was really good.
Yeah. I was shocked that they didn't win, because they were both on it. So I was really shocked they didn't take the win this past weekend.
Have you had any,
but yeah, we ended up getting fifth in our bracket.
Have you had any situations like in the pro, like playing, like where, and you don't have to name names, but like you just don't care for them, like the way they act, or like they just give you bad vibes and stuff? Like, have you come across that, or it's like, is it for the most part like everyone at the pro level is pretty chill?
Honestly, everyone that I've come across, I mean, there is like that one or two people. I honestly can say like there's that one person that kind of gave me a, like, I ended up going to Worlds before I was even, like, we had the Arizona State Championships in June, my first tournament, and then I ended up driving all the way to Rock Hill 2 months later to just go play, and I was intermediate at the time. That was 2 years ago, and I obviously watched all through COVID. I watched Cornhole on TV, so I was like huge fans of these players, and I had a bad experience when I played one of the players. I ended up beating them, and you know, you do better when you don't know who any of the players kind of are. And I was kind of just on a hot streak that first year I went to Worlds.
Was the player male? Can I just ask, is it male or female?
It was a female.
All right. You don't have to say it. I'm going to make a guess when we're done here, and I think I'm going to be right.
Yeah.
I'm going
to
write it down.
I was very excited to play her. I think that's the only reason why it kind of like hurt me so bad, because I was a fan when I was playing her.
Can I hold it up to the camera and just confirm if it's, and we don't use
video. We don't use the video, so.
Right. I'm so good. Okay, continue. I've guessed right.
Yeah, and then that honestly, though, I'm very thankful for that interaction, because now that I am a pro, I always look back to that moment. Like, win or lose, you gotta be cool. Like, we're all here to just throw a bag into a hole. Come on.
So, being a pro now, like, do you take the responsibility of like trying to help like newer players, younger generation, try to get involved in the game more? Are you actively like working on anything to try to like grow the game in your area?
Yeah, definitely. That's a big part of what I want to do this season. I actually have a pretty cool announcement coming up that is going to help the youth and the juniors. So I'm excited for that. Sweet. And I don't believe anyone is doing what I'm going to do. So I'm hoping that everything goes good, and maybe I'll announce it on your guys' podcast.
Hell yeah. You're welcome back anytime. But, so I seriously, thank you for coming on. It's been a long time coming. Obviously burst onto the scene last year, the pro shootout. And then, just talking with Daniel, he speaks very, very highly of you. And, you know, it's like I said, it's just been a bad timing thing. And then I'm glad you're feeling better now, though.
Yeah. And, thank you guys.
We got to get out to Arizona. Yeah. We got to get out to Arizona.
Man. Yeah.
You guys have to, man.
We are. I know. Like, it's, and honestly, like, we've had like, there's even like chunks in our travel. Like, I'm like, man, I'm not going anywhere like this month. I mean, I might get the itch to just get the fuck out of my house. Like, I might just be like, I'm going to go to Arizona for this weekend. Just, if nothing else, Whole Nine Yards is there. Yeah. And it feels like there's always something going on there.
Even if there's not a tournament, like, Whole Nine Yards is a party every
Arizona weekend. Does have golf, too.
That's what I'm thinking.
They have a lot of golf.
All right. Well, yeah, we might end up out there before we know it. So
I am 1,000% down.
Yeah, we're going to go. But yeah, I'm just pumped that we officially, again, we're going to Spencer's.
Yes.
And I'm so excited to go for the first time. We've never been there, so very excited.
It's gonna be
gonna
be fun.
Yeah,
it's gonna. It was my first time going this last season.
What did you think of it? Was it overwhelming, or did you like it?
No, I'm going every single year now. Like, it was so much fun. It's just a different vibe, because you know, you have like now that I'm a pro, I do kind of feel the pressure doing so good last season.
Yeah.
So I'm going to these opens and like nationals and worlds, and you're like kind of all focused, you know, and then it's such like a breath of fresh air going to Spencer's and everyone's just there to have a good time.
Yeah, that's exactly kind of what I want to get out of that.
And we'll have the best time.
I can't wait. I just seriously can't even wait.
I'll be like, there's Cornel going on?
Yeah. No, it's going to be a content galore. It's going to be just millions of people there. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait. So, I'm excited. Gina, good luck this year. I can't wait to see what you guys do this year. Obviously, we're pulling for you more so now than ever. You know, Team Dragon for life, right? So,
definitely.
But yeah,
heck yeah.
Hope you kick ass this season. Want to see you on make another broadcast for sure in the pro shootouts at least minimum. If not, go win a national. That'd be awesome. And when you do, you can come on here and brag about it.
For sure, that's the plan.
Oh yeah, hell yeah. But thanks for joining us, and then everyone else will be back next week with more stuff. Best of the bags will be starting to wrap up.
We'd be like real close to
the finals by then, right? Yeah, and we're gonna start. Listen, it's gonna be power rankings. I think it's starting to get time. It's getting that crunch time, man. We gotta start going. We're gonna start getting planned up for bringing back Chuck It or Shuck It. I mean, obviously, first nationals is gonna be coming up. Pro shootouts are happening. Gambling lines are gonna start to open up. So we want to let you guys know where to put the money. So just stay tuned for all that. But Gina, thank you very much for joining us. We'll have you on again very soon. And we'll have some fun.
Heck yeah.
All right. Thank you guys.
Of course.
Talk to you guys soon.
Always. And then we'll have you hang on and we'll let everyone else go. And as always, we hope you throw it straight. That's nothing but four baggers from here on out.
Cornhole it.
Later.